Hey everybody, it's your girl Jessie Mae. I spilled water on this microphone, my sharp tongue microphone, because you are listening to the Sharp Tongue podcast, and I spilled a whole glass of water, so I hope you can hear me. Does it sound like I'm underwater? Thanks for tuning back in. Sharp Tongue podcast live and in your ear. Well, as live as a recorded podcast can be. I'm pumped. I'm actually not pumped. I'm going through a lot of emotions. That was a total lie. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going through a lot of emotions. This grief is a bitch. And I think I've officially entered the anger stage. My next podcast is going to be all about how I'm dealing with it, what it feels like, what you can expect, sort of. Even though you're a different person, you might have a different experience and relationship with grief, but if you're tuning in and you haven't caught up, my father passed away in October, and I'm going through the stages. So I'm not doing so great, but I'm okay. I'm surviving. I know I'll survive. And I'm trying to just ride this wave that makes me want to murder everyone. Oh, God. It is brutal. And then you mix in being a woman, getting your period once a month, and you mix in just general people who piss you the fuck off. Why does everybody go slow on the highway? Can we pick it up a little bit? I got places to be. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, Mario Andretti, but can you not be a snail? Can you maybe not leave a snail trail on the 405? I know that's a different kind of, I know that has nothing to do with cars, but I'm just trying to, you know, tell you to pick up the speed a little bit. I am going to be traveling. My show's coming up. Please come see me live. I'm a lot of fun, especially now in this mindset where I'm just not giving any fucks. I didn't give fucks before, but now all the fucks are lost. I'm checking all my pockets for a fuck to give, and gosh darn it if I can't find one. I'm going to be celebrating 420 in Rhode Island, Comedy Connection, April 19th and 20th. Three shows, one show Friday, two shows Saturday. JessieMae.com for tickets. If you just hit my little tour tab, you can find tickets and ticket links to come see me live. Celebrate 420 with me. Y'all, I'll have some merch. I'll do meet and greets. A portion of my ticket sales and merch sales will go towards raising awareness and charity for Alzheimer's. I'll be donating to them, the Alzheimer's Association of America, who I'm going to be working with soon. I'm also going to be working with Hilarity for Charity, bringing some awareness to this terrible disease, and bringing my comedy to you guys, because we all go through bullshit. We need to laugh and relate and connect and realize life ain't so bad. And even when it is bad, you can still laugh through that shit. Just try to not murder people. That's not cool. Murder is not cool. If there's anything you can learn from this podcast, other places I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Chicopee, Mass. I'm going to be at the Comedy Loft in Chicopee, Mass. I'm also going to be doing a show in Hartford, Connecticut. That's the 2nd and 3rd of May. I'm going to be at the Saratoga Winery May 4th. I have a bunch of other dates up on my website. I'm going to be coming to, let's see, Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to be coming to Albany. I'm also going to be coming to Minnesota, Mall of America, Alberta, Canada, D.C., Washington, D.C. Whole bunch of new dates have been put up. The links are on my website right now. The Saratoga link will be up soon, but definitely come check me out in Rhode Island. I will be there for 420. And as you guys know, check out Weeds Day every Wednesday on Instagram and Facebook Live, 420 Pacific, 720 Eastern Standard. That's where I answer your questions. I raise up and blaze up with you. I get real intimate with you guys. We also hang out, shoot the shit while we're raising awareness for Alzheimer's and charity for Alzheimer's as well. So hanging out with me is a good thing because you also help give back. I'm trying to find a way to connect all the funny and give back to people in need. So by supporting me, you're supporting a good cause, and I appreciate you guys. I'm excited about our guest today. He's one of my comedy friends. He's hilarious. He makes me gut laugh. There's only a handful of people in my life that make me gut laugh. It's a special art to make a comedian gut laugh. He's hilarious. He's an actor. He's a comedian. All around, wildly talented dude. I think you guys will really enjoy him. Please have a listen to Mr. Skylar Stone. Chicka chicka chow chow. Sharp Tongue Podcast. beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh.
The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Hey everybody, it's Jessie Mae. My face is on fire. We'll get to why my face is on fire in a hot minute. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I want to give a shout out to all you listeners who've been listening and being so supportive of the pod, and also to Hakuna Supply, which if you haven't heard, now you know the word. You can get some amazing stash products from your girl, Jessie Mae. I'm doing a little tit shake. I don't know if you can hear it. We've got stash boxes, jars, grinders, rolling trays. A portion of the sales go towards World Wildlife Foundation and a foundation in Southern California to help homeless veterans. And also, from anything you purchase from me, show tickets, merch, whatever, what have you, a portion goes back to the Alzheimer's Association of America, bringing awareness and help to those diagnosed with that terrible disease that took my pops in October. Shout out to Joey P. Farts for Life. If you guys would like to take a piece of me home with you, one of my stash boxes, one of my stash jars, maybe a grinder, a rolling tray, go to hakunasupply.com/JessieMaePeluso. And I'm also going to give you a promotional code, 15% off for supporting me. My dog is attacking the staff. Bunny, don't be a bitch. The promotion code is JessieMaeCBD. Put that in checkout when you are done purchasing and you can get 15% off. Speaking of being attacked, are you okay? Bunny literally just went after everyone in the studio. She's 6 pounds. Let's welcome the incomparable. This is how we do it. Skylar Stone. That's an inside situation from yes. When we were in... What country were we in?
We could actually, you know, like a lot of comics, like, oh, we've been to war together.
We have.
It just means they open for each other or something. We've actually been to Beirut, so we've been to war together.
Like, that's the first time we actually hung out.
Yeah, it was actually.
In Beirut.
You had done my show because I remember Mark Saratella got you on our show back in the day, and I met you briefly, but just one of those, you know, everybody's busy. We're just backstage. You're stoned. I'm not because I'm sober. You know what I mean? So like,
you're sober. I'm so not sober.
Yeah. You're craving Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm thinking about my taxes. Oh. Like we were just not on the same page at the moment, you know. And then all of a sudden, you were on the Beirut thing, and we met at the airport. Remember?
Dude, you were sweating.
I was sweating.
You were literally dripping in sweat.
Well, see, has Daddy lost some weight now?
Daddy looks good.
Daddy's lost some weight. Daddy's lost 17 pounds in 2 weeks. Little angry at myself because I just had about 5 handfuls of Cheez-Its when I walked in here.
You did.
But you guys had no healthy options, so that's not my fault, okay?
You did this to us.
Yes, I am going to call my Overeaters Anonymous sponsor and let them know I did nothing. I'm in a codependent relationship with everyone I meet. It's your fault, not mine.
My face hurts.
Your face, it should hurt. You look like, what did you say before the mic was on? You said.
You were like, should we put these on? And I said, I look like a DJ from hell. Yeah, I had a treatment done in my skin. It doesn't look so bad here, but if you see me in life,
yeah,
you know, I look like Freddy Krueger's, you know, girlfriend.
You look like Seal and Mikhail Gorbachev had a kid. So like, that's where we're at right now.
I look like an aerial view of the Red Sea. All for vanity. Get rid of your chimples. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You look like your face ate a ghost pepper.
I look like I'm right out of the burn unit. I'm just here. I'm a make a wish.
Yeah. Right.
My wish is to not be.
What if ATC was like, what if like Bill Burr, the door opened? He's like, kind of an awkward moment. We were actually bringing a make a wish kid in from the burn unit.
And I'm like,
you're like, wow, good improv. Terrible. We're going to hell.
Yeah, Beirut. We're not going to hell. I am from hell, so it's fine. Yeah, if you want to come back there with me, you can.
You're like, I can get you in the list. On the list.
I want to itch all my skin off.
Can you touch it?
I can't, and I've been trying not to, but it's so, so
Have you
sore.
Seen the trailer for that new movie, 6 Feet Apart? That's basically what's going on right now.
I thought you were going to say Pet Sematary.
No, have you heard about 6 Feet Apart?
Yes.
It's literally about two people like in a, like a cancer ward that have a very rare form of some sort of a... I'm going to butcher this. Someone's going to tweet me and go, that's not exactly what it's about. It's actually about this. But from what I gather, okay? These days you have to say that. And from what I get...
Allegedly.
I speculate, okay? Yes. I'm not Wikipedia, okay? Anyway, it's people that can't get close to each other or they'll get like a bacteria or something. So two people that naturally can't get close to each other fall in love, you know, because that's a great log line for a
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, God,
you know
it's so original.
Yeah, dude, that'd be amazing though for like marriage. Just like just,
that's what hey, would make a marriage
6 feet
less.
Apart. 6 feet apart, all right?
At all times.
Yeah, that's called, like, we've been together 10 years.
Like, that's how you, that's, yeah. This is called no divorce.
Yeah, it's like, me and my wife sleep so far in bed from each other at this point. I'm sorry, like, are you there, babe? Wait, what's going on?
Space, I think space is vital to keeping you close. That's
Absolutely.
Irony.
Actually, I just sent her to, I sent her to Denver to see her best friend. She was gone for like President's Day weekend, but she made like a longer week. It was like a 5-day weekend. And literally by day two, she's like, I can't wait to get back there and just suck that dick. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sending you to Denver every weekend. This is great.
Absence makes the whore come out.
Yes.
Not that your wife is a whore.
Yeah. It'd be okay with me if she was.
Your wife is beautiful.
She is pretty.
Yeah, she's a babe.
She's not.
You really, you married up there.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Not even a question. Why do you think I'm losing the weight?
For her?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, I used to go out in public, and when I would see, like, a really hot girl with a guy, and you just have the whole restaurant's going, how did that happen? Then all of a sudden you become the guy that people are pointing at going, how did that happen? You're like, I never meant to get here. This is it's not where I meant to end up.
So now you're trying to lose weight to keep up?
That is not why. Honestly, if it was vanity, I would have done it a long time ago because it's affected my booking ratio for years. Because here's the thing. I'm not like fat. You know what I mean? I'm not like Kevin. Oh, I was about to say.
Go ahead. Say it.
Well, as fat as Kevin James ever was, okay? These days, like, everyone makes you feel so bad for pointing out something. I'm not like Chris Farley, but here's the thing. In Hollywood, you have to pick a lane. You are either fit guy or you are fat guy. But when you're in between guy.
You can be fat fit.
I'm like, no.
You look strong. You look like you could run right through this wall.
You can be fat fit after you make it. Okay, so like Jack Black can go through like phases where like he's actually, oh, Jack Black looks good right now. But he's already Jack Black. He's already got there.
Right. But Hollywood. Was he fit before?
When he made it?
Yeah.
1,000% no.
Oh, right.
No.
Okay.
What I'm saying is you can be either one. You can't be the in-between.
Yeah.
So you can be fit guy and make it. Okay, Tom Cruise, fit guy.
Fit
made
guy.
It.
Totally
Channing
fit
Tatum,
guy.
Fit guy. Made it. Jonah Hill, fat guy.
Yeah, okay? And then he got fit.
Yes, but see,
so
after
you can
he made
go-
it.
See, okay, but he was. See, I think there's a flaw in what you're saying because Jonah Hill was fat guy.
First of all, real quick, you can go fuck yourself. But go ahead with your point. Yeah, don't forget I'm the guest. Anyway,
Jonah Hill was fat when he made it.
I'm sorry,
he was overweight. Whatever the word
hold
is
on.
That won't.
Is she
trigger-
always this stoned? Just so I know, I'm saying you can make it as there's two lanes that you can make
right.
it.
Right.
You are either fit or fat.
I see. But he crossed over. So is that like an anomaly?
Hold on. You can make it fit. Okay. And then you can, once you've blown up, you can become fat like Marlon Brando. Okay.
Yes.
Or you can make it fat and then you can get fit. You can't be Mr. In-Between Guy while in the process
right,
of trying to make it.
Right. Because people need to identify you.
Because when you go in, they're like, you know, they're like, he's good, but we got a hotter guy. He's good, but we got a fatter guy. So you need to be the hotter or the fatter guy.
And then in the process, try not to want to like stab yourself because
that's
it's
what I'm saying.
So grueling.
It's a problem. I just keep going on these like lead roles where it says like, nice guy, you know, guy next door, very friendly, you know, fit, super together. Every guy wants to be him. Girls want to date him. And I'm walking in next to like Channing Tatum's that are like, we're probably going with the Channing Tatum guy over here. You know what I mean? Or I'm going in on like slovenly. Looks like he hasn't been out of bed in days. Doesn't comb his hair. Eats Cheez-Its for breakfast. Sips on Diet Cokes during podcasts. You know what I mean? Yet never gets skinnier. What's up with Diet Coke? Is it even working? You know what I mean? And I'm walking in and there's like a... There's like a guy that's way fatter than me. They're like, Skylar, you actually look really good next to this guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I either make the handsome guys look really handsome or the fat guys look really fat.
What was like?
It's time for, you know what? I'm going to give up. I'm just going to get
fatter.
No, don't get fat.
Don't you dare.
Okay.
Because I feel like everything
on your face. I don't want to run into you at LAX again sweating. Please don't.
I know. I don't. And I feel like everything will pop off of you because you look like you're you know, like, you look strong. So I feel like if you get any bigger, everything's just going to pop off of your face.
Like, kind
of
like, I'm going to be like Large Marge when she freaks out.
Yes.
In Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, 100%.
Gotcha.
What was like the worst audition you ever went on, or like something that happened?
I already have it.
What?
Was that the question?
Yeah, just like the most awkward or worst audition, because I feel like all of them are.
I'm really glad that you brought up awkward, because that's exactly what this was. Okay. Picture, if you will.
You just took the biggest breath.
Yeah, I did, because I this one is really hard to get out, okay? Also, I'm holding in a shit. Anyway, no, I'm kidding.
Hot morning cheese and shit.
Yeah, you know, it's all that sodium. Okay, here's the deal. I was in shape at this point in my life. So at this point in my life, I was going out on roles that mattered. And when I say mattered, I'm talking about a little franchise called Die Hard, okay?
I've heard of it. Yes. I've heard of it. Yeah. I definitely used to flick my little bean to Bruce Willis.
Wait, did you really?
I used to love Bruce Willis.
We used to? What's wrong with him now?
I don't know. You know, I'm just kind of over it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of over it. I'm on to like Bradley Cooper now. But continue.
Really?
Yeah, totes. Totes my goats.
That's what chicks do.
Yeah, you got to move on. You know, you have to evolve your celebrity crush. So it used to be Bruce Willis. Now it's Brad Coops.
Now it's the Coops?
Now it's the Coops and the Poops.
You know, I hope Coops gets fat just so I can show you my theory.
I would still get up in it.
You would really?
I don't know if I would. He would get up in it.
Did you see A Star Is Born?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
A couple times.
You watch that movie and you're like, ooh, bitch, a UTI was born. Oh, you put so many things in there while watching that. All right. So, okay, here's the
deal. So Die Hard.
At this time,
I'm
like,
sweating because my face is literally the color. Well, my,
how the tables
crimson.
Have turned. Yeah. How did you adjust me? Well, I was sweating at an airport and she was burnt at a studio.
She looked like she came out of the flames of Icarus. Yeah. It's so sore to laugh.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So Die Hard.
Die Hard. A lovely casting office. I'm going to leave their names out of it, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
But they were over on Vine Street, and I remember getting the call, and they're like, you need to be at this place at 10:45 a.m. tomorrow. It was the last minute audition. I think I got, you know how they go. I got it like 6 p.m. the night before.
And you have to work on it, and it's the most grueling thing ever.
Four scenes.
Oh, man.
Now, for those of you out there, maybe, you know, you're not in the business, and you think, oh, four scenes, big deal. I wrote four memos today at work. Four scenes is hard. That means there's four situations where you are in charge of figuring out where your character's coming from, where they're going, what they're feeling inside, what's going on with the other place. Like and this was chunky dialogue. It was like there were like monologues in this and shit.
Oh,
you know?
Damn.
Some fucking like soliloquies, as it fucking were.
In the night before.
Yes. So I went out and got a new outfit. Because that's what you do when you're an actor also. You go out and you buy outfits, and some of these stores are pretty hip to that. And so there are no returns, you know what I mean? So when you're on Melrose. So I'm on Melrose, I get a hip little outfit. I pay to go see, I think, Leslie Kahn. Charged me an arm and a leg because I went there for a good hour and a half session. I was not leaving that room until I had like...
You felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like second nature.
Yep. And so, I mean, just like when you guys watch sports out there, we have coaches too. We go to somebody that's like a pro that's known for booking, you know, people for roles like this. So,
or if you can't afford that, you go to somebody who still thinks they're going to make it.
Yeah.
And they...
Yeah. Sometimes there's other comedians that like to make you think that, you know, they're like, oh, dude, I can get you this. Really? How come you never got one of these? Anyway. And they're like they're bragging about some like one CSI credit they have. You know what I mean? And then you look it up and you find out like their brother directed it. And it's like, oh, so you didn't even book that. So,
student film.
Yeah, exactly.
Home video.
Exactly.
I was in a home video once. Yeah. Oh, were you, Gregory? Great. I'm still crying on Melrose.
So I thought you were in The English Patient. No, I'm actually English, and I was a patient at Cedar Sinai. Oh, okay. I didn't understand that credit at all.
Patient at the burn unit. It's gonna.
That's
go.
Two burn unit jokes. Two. Jessamay Peluso. She's on Twitter. Attack her. So.
Literally attack me. I already look like I got attacked, so you can't really hurt me anymore.
Yeah. She also said she thinks it's funny that Luke Perry died. You did say that. So.
Did I?
No, I'm kidding. You never said that.
I was like, did I? Jesus because I'm a cruel human.
I do. I could have gone with that. And you were you're like, fuck, I
you
didn't know
I
said that.
You get me all the time.
I got you a lot. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
You did.
And so...
audition.
I get all ready. I go to bed early. I'm ready, dude. I wake up in the morning. I run it with my roommates. One of my roommates came with me, ran it with me, like, outside the parking lot. Like this.
Wow.
I never forget. My friend looked at me and was just like, bro, I really think this is yours. And this was like, you know... This was about a decade ago when, like, they're starting to look at all the franchises from our youth and go, who's gonna pick up, like, who's gonna take the baton on all these? Like, they were giving, like, they're putting Shia LaBeouf in, like, Indiana Jones.
Right, right.
They're putting, you know, someone in Die Hard.
That
so,
next
like,
generation.
Yeah, just inject, like, a little youth. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Bruce Willis jokes, like, making jokes with, like, a younger guy about younger things, you know?
Right.
What is this, a fucking iPod? You know, that kind of, you know what I mean? And so, oh, you didn't know I do Bruce Willis? How you doing? Bruce Willis, heard you flick your bean to me.
God! Yeah.
Why does it always look like he's trying to figure out who farted right behind him?
I was just going to say, it looks like you're smelling a fart.
No, he's always like...
And it was just him. No one farted behind him.
So,
you go in.
I'm in the waiting room, and there's no one in the waiting room. I'm like, okay, no one's in the waiting room. Long time passes, and then somebody finally walks through and like, hi, Skylar, Deb's going to be right with you. And then like, you know, like walks over and goes, did you get some water? And, you know, casting offices have like the fanciest water. It's like infused with like mint and strawberry and Vicodin. And so like I went over and I got myself some water. And
or it's a water fountain that a homeless person's pissing in. I mean, all this
that's
is
a different
like,
kind of casting.
It's
office.
Levels of casting.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a spectrum.
Yeah, at this
there's
point,
a caste system to the casting.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, if it was on the casting Yelp, it would have 5 stars.
Okay.
For sure. 431 reviews. All right.
2 of those stars are A-listers.
Yes. One of them's Alec Baldwin. He's just there. Yeah.
He's there. He's in the hallway judging you.
Yeah, yeah.
He just sits quietly and does crosswords.
Is that what you're gonna do? I wouldn't do that for you. So I go over, she calls me in, and it's 4 scenes. I just want to say that one more time. It's 4 scenes.
Yes.
And one of them, I'm screaming because I'm in a car, and it's a very intense situation. It's in the movie. There's a scene where a younger – I keep saying a younger guy because I don't want to give away what happens.
But right.
There's a younger guy that has this crazy scene. And so scene one, out of the park, I could tell on her face, she's just like, wow, like you know – when they're putting on, you didn't do a good job, and so I'm just going to make you feel it.
Yep.
But you know when you did do a good job. You feel it inside, and you see it on their face, like because the look is usually, huh, that's an interesting way to go. Because like you put your own flair on
it.
I thought about this yesterday. I was at the grocery store, and I was buying hot dog buns and hot dogs. No, I'm serious.
I love hot dogs. It's my guilty pleasure.
Oh,
I haven't
great.
Had one in so long.
They're great. Ugh. And so we were buying them. And I noticed that there's, you know, there's 8 hot dogs in a hot dog package and there's 12 hot dog buns in a hot dog package. And I remember that scene in Father of the Bride when Steve Martin freaks out and he's taking like hot dog buns out. And then an employee walks up and goes, what are you doing? He's like, I am taking the hot dog buns out of the bag because for some reason, someone decided somewhere this imbecile, they put 8 hot dogs in 12 hot dog buns. And he's like freaking out. And I was thinking about how like, on paper, there's no way that scene was as interesting as Steve Martin made it. Do you understand
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Like, it's just like a guy going, oh, I'm taking these out because I'm doing this. But Steve Martin turning into like a Steve Martin-ism and talk the way that he talks with his fingers in his hands. So like, that's what I did. I know that I gave it something where she was like, you know, oh, wow, we didn't see anyone do it this way. She was, Skylar, go on to the next scene. And you know when like they say it like that, like, oh, I can't wait to see what your work is next, your choices on this. So I start the second scene.
No, I don't know what that's like. I've never actually... They're just like, can you stop the scene and leave? I don't even get through the first scene. They're like, ma'am, this is a coffee bean. Why are you reciting? Why are you doing A Star Is Born?
Like, hello? I'm just trying to get discovered, guys. You're the only person that will ever know why that voice that I'm doing right now
guys,
is funny.
We'll tell them. We'll tell them later.
I don't think we can.
Okay, we won't.
All right.
Fine.
So, inside joke really works for a podcast. All right, anyway. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she goes, or I just hear it, like, I'm literally, oh, sorry, start the second scene. The second scene is the yelling, freaking out in the car, losing it. I mean, it is, there's a crescendo to this bad boy. You have to get to a level. I'm on a hyperbolic rise to fucking manicness. I'm screaming. I'm going nuts. I'm committed. I'm not even thinking about the sides. I think this, my lines are on the floor. I'm not even looking at them. I'm so in it and I know them. And all of a sudden, I just hear on the door.
Oh, fuck.
A knock on the door, and I go, I just ignored it. And so I keep going, and then I hear again. At this point, who the fuck?
Dude. Who the fuck?
By the way.
Alec in the hallway?
Yeah, you know what I love about this? You think that that knock is the worst part of this story. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, she goes, Skylar, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
1 second. And she looks over. She goes, yes. And the door opens. She goes, you told me if it came through. Okay. Skylar, 1 second, please. She walks out. They close the door. It's paper thin walls.
Oh my, oh no.
This is an old ass building, all right? If someone farts on floor 9 and you're on 2, you're like,
not floor 9.
Did Ted have cheese
again? God damn it.
Ted have cheese again?
They're farting on floor 9.
I told you no dairy, Ted. All right, so all of a sudden I hear her on the phone. She's on the phone with UTA, a very powerful agency in Hollywood.
Not UTI, which is a very yes. powerful infection in my pants.
When she watches A Star Is Born. All right. Don't even get her started on the fucking sniper movie that he made.
Zone.
Yeah, because you love, if there's two things you love, it's guns and cocks.
So you hear through the walls.
I hear through the wall. They close the deal for Justin Long to play the role that I'm reading for. Literally, this guy, Justin's a friend of mine, by the way, but he has beat me for so many things. I don't even know if he knows how many times he's beat me. I was up for the lead role in Waiting, and he got that, and then they gave me like 5 lines, you know, in the movie.
Yeah.
I was up for the lead role in Accept It, and the director was like, oh my God, we really love you. And then all of a sudden, he got it, so they gave me like 2 lines in that one. So I'm famous for getting like a couple lines in all of his movies. But I don't know if he really knows that I was ever up for the leads. I think he just kind of thinks, there's Skylar. He's a 2 line role guy. Yeah. No, I'm actually trying to be a 25 million line role. Then we actually did another movie together. We did 3 movies together, Walking with Dinosaurs. That one, we were both leads. So that was kind of cool.
But what happened? What happened? Did you cry?
So I didn't cry. So they closed the deal. He had always, like, I heard them. The call was on speaker because oftentimes.
Why would they do that?
Because the associate needs to take notes, you know, on a notepad, and she needs to close the deal. They're going over deal points and stuff. You could tell that this has been closing for some time, but there was a sticking point because they weren't actually going over the numbers and the price. So that you can tell that was all kind of sorted out. Like, you know, because after you figure out price, they figure out, like, you know, how big's your trailer going to be? And, like, you know, to what day can they hold you for doing ADR? And when are you free? Like,
and you're listening to all the shit on speakerphone.
I basically realized something in Hollywood that a lot of people don't know. Like, when in a big role, when a big actor's up for something, you know, they don't know if it's gonna close.
So yeah, they're gonna have to keep auditioning.
They're gonna keep putting people on tape until they know.
Yep.
And that's all I was. I was a backup.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And so all of a sudden,
it's like 20 feet from stardom.
Yeah.
Actors.
Yes. So you could hear
20 feet from fartdom.
What's 20 feet from stardom?
It's a documentary about the backup singers.
Oh, that's right.
It's really good.
Soul singers.
Yeah. The women who like add that, the flavor and the spice and the musicality in the background that should be in the front foreground.
And so all of a sudden they close the deal. She comes back in, acts like it never happened, and goes, all right, go on to scene 3.
Oh, fuck.
And now
you.
I'm like,
I'm going on to scene Walking into the Ocean.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I was just like, and I had to do it. The worst part about it, though, is if you think about it, I'm halfway through scene 2, and she doesn't even remember that. So she's not even committing to, like, lying well. She just basically told me, go ahead and go to scene 3. It's like, well, I didn't even do the most important scene in the audition. I'm not even done. You know what I mean?
And then you have to, like, go out again.
Yeah.
You have to, like, throw that away, throw that whole day away, and go out again.
Oh, yeah.
You have to keep getting
beat. Oh, no, I had an audition later that day for some TV show.
They always say if you go out for auditions, it's good to, like, either book something fun in the afternoon or have, like, a couple auditions so you're not so focused on that one audition.
I had an ex that in my life, she would tell me, when you're done with your auditions, act like your script is literally like poison. Like, throw it, get the fuck out of your
hands. Oh, I throw it away. I throw it all away.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, I delete all the emails.
Yeah.
And then I call my mom and tell her she's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I just get it all out, you know, all
the emotions. And she also gave me this great advice, too. She would also say, never trust anyone, including me, because I'm cheating on you currently. So that was fun.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was my ex. Yeah.
Whoa.
That was crazy. I was kidding. She didn't give me that advice.
Oh, okay, okay.
But you didn't get the joke.
I didn't, no. No, I didn't get it. That's probably why you didn't get the audition, because I didn't get the joke.
Oh, my God.
Justin Long.
Jeepers
Creepers was like one of the first movies that I think I remember seeing him
in. That's another one he stole from me.
You were going to do Jeepers Creepers?
He stole Jeepers Creepers, Waiting, Accept It. And then I don't remember the name.
Did you read for Jeepers two. Creepers?
Die Hard and then some other indie movie. Yeah, I read for that. Yeah.
I loved that movie when it came out.
I never saw it.
You never saw it?
I just moved here. Like, it was the first movie that I'd ever, like, really read a few times for the lead and didn't get. I'm like, I don't want to. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to go fucking pay to see this when you didn't fucking pay to use my services, you know?
I got really far. I did an audition for Ted and to be the teddy bear's to be the teddy girlfriend, bear? Oh. Tammy Lynn.
That's funny.
And I got, like, 3 callbacks.
I don't remember there being a girlfriend.
There was that blonde chick from the grocery store.
Oh, okay.
And she had the, for like a small role, there were a bunch of lines. And I remember like same thing, like being so excited.
Yeah. So did you feel like going like day one when it came out? Like, hey.
I went, I did.
Let me, oh.
I saw it because I wanted to see how, where Jess, I failed.
Jessamy, we actually just thought we all gathered today. This isn't even a podcast. It's an intervention. You're retarded.
I know, and you're going to have emails from people that are going to be angry about that word.
Can we cut that out?
No, we're keeping it in, and we're going to interject.
No, but you know what? You know what I'm tired of? You know what I'm tired of?
Tell me.
I'm tired of people assuming your meaning.
Yes, assuming what your
intonation. If I can't assume right. your gender, you can't assume my meaning. No, even like meaning of words.
Wait, do I look like a guy?
Yeah, like if I say, hey, that guy looks like a faggot. No, what if I mean he looks like a bundle of sticks?
He could be a very thin man.
Did you know that a bundle of sticks
is a faggot?
So I'm saying, like, if I say it, how can people tell me, like, if I say he looks like that, how can someone go, that's offensive to me? I wasn't even using it in the way that you think that I'm using it.
Isn't it? It's interesting as people.
Like retarded? I meant he looks heavily doused down. Like he has, like he's, he has flame retardant on.
He looks like what I like, should have been wearing before I was burned.
Yes, I was here to say you look retarded.
Retarded.
Like somebody put retarded all over your face.
Yes.
Yes.
I get it now.
Or they put it everywhere but your face.
Right. My face is the only place that
wasn't retarded.
I got it. What do you think?
This is either going to do really well on social media or really bad.
Well, they know it's not what the meaning is. Like, don't you think it's interesting as people who make a living off of words and linguistics and speaking,
yeah.
how now words are triggering people more?
It's crazy.
Really interesting. And you know,
the other one you can't really do it, though, is the N-word. There is no other meaning
no,
for that.
I mean, yeah.
There's that's no, just, that one just means what it
you're
means.
Just there's a lack of yeah. creation going on.
But with the
on.
Ones we use so far, there are other meanings. So.
Creativity.
So I'm going to get in trouble for assuming people's gender in public, which I already have before, by the way. But, I said ma'am to someone the other day, and she said, don't assume my gender. I'm like, oh.
What?
Well, and she was nice about it, but it was also like, it was embarrassing. Like, she was nice, but then other people looked at me like, you jerk.
And I'm
like,
wait, where
like,
was this?
Like, you know what I'm saying? All those people are like you knew either. You know what I mean?
What did like, she look like?
Just, okay, I want to be careful of my words. She looked like a female.
Okay.
And I said, ma'am, and she didn't want to be called ma'am. And
was she a man?
No, it wasn't an age thing. She let me know that she's not a ma'am, but she's a man. Biologically, she's female.
Okay.
She doesn't identify as that. So I'm saying, like, if I can't assume people's gender, you can't assume my meaning.
It's very difficult. I think it's a very difficult subject. Like, you're a father.
Uh-huh.
What if your child came to you? How old are they now? Because they're still young. The twins are young.
They are 3 and a half.
Okay, so say at like 9, they come and they're like, I want to switch my gender.
I'd be down.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you?
I actually hope one of them's gay. Like. I know that's not the same thing, but I'm saying no. We really do. We're like grooming one to be. We're like hoping
you're grooming a kid.
That sounds terrible. Actually, that sounds like Michael Jackson stuff. I meant just like you know.
I don't know if that's legal to groom. No,
we're just hinting.
Yeah, like
you know,
like what, like how?
We like you know, like we're like well, for instance, we did a gender reveal party, and Carter was supposed to be a girl according to the place that we went to.
Really?
Yes, we have an entire gender reveal video where we were going to have fraternal twins. One's a girl, one's a boy. And we're all like crying and high-fiving and hugging. And then a couple months later, like, yeah, your genders aren't, you don't have them correctly identified.
Boys.
I have 2 boys.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. In this,
so Carter, we're just like, you know, you were supposed to be a girl. So we're kind of pushing him, you know.
To go to the, back to what, maybe he was and then he flipped in the womb.
Yeah, we're inviting his feminine side to come out because we're like, I think that's what God wanted. Yeah. You're the one that kind of went against what you're supposed to, you know.
We're just going to the natural, yeah. You know, maybe he had a vagina and then he's like, not for me, gross.
Yeah.
And then just pulled it out.
Yeah, so it's like, we're not doing anything major. It's like little things like, you know, in the morning, like, you know, we're like, Hudson, you know, you want to go outside and play catch and listen to some Metallica. You know what I mean? But like with Carter, you know, we're just like, Carter, come over here. We're going to learn how to make a souffle. And what's that playing? Oh, that's a band called Wham. Have you ever heard of them? They're a really good band. Anyway.
But don't you think in this generation, in this day where gender is being selected after you've already been born, where you can actually switch your gender, don't you think having a gender reveal party is a little presumptuous?
A little bit.
Yeah. It's also a waste of money. Like you have this, you spend this money on having a gender reveal party. What if Timmy wants to be Tanya later on?
Yeah.
You've wasted and you've ruined your kid's destiny.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just a very tricky time. Now, would you, if your kid at like 8 or 9, if the boys come and they want to be girls, what, and they want to have surgery, they're like, I want to.
At 9?
Well, if they, you know.
That's been intense.
So when can they have surgery then as a parent that you feel is okay?
I think you can support children, but I don't think you should start doing anything medical until people are like of an age where they know that what they're saying is not like a passing, you know.
Right. Because when I was
I knew of a child that came home and like told their parents, like, I'm pretty sure I'm gay. And then literally 3 weeks later, and nobody, like, there were no like signs ever. I'm not saying that you would always know, but like, oftentimes Brett Ernst has a great joke where he says, like, he's like, hey man, I don't know what you all believe in, like, some of you may believe you become gay, you choose to be gay. He goes, where I'm from New York, and my little brother, like, that bitch was born different. He goes, he came out of the womb going, hey, like, yeah. You know, he has a whole fucking routine on it. It's so funny to me. And oftentimes I feel like you do kind of, like, I definitely, there were two kids in elementary school that I thought were gay when I was younger, and they've grown up and they both are gay. So I was batting 1,000 there. I'm like, I got a good gaydar.
Yeah.
But now, like, I feel so. This girl came home and said, I'm gay, and the parents and everybody were like, what? And then 3 weeks later, she's like, yeah, everyone was just talking about it at school, so I just wondered if maybe I was. I'm like, why didn't you come home and say you were wondering if you were that way?
Well,
you
know, I think, like, maybe the pressure, and also it's just, you know, having a label is more satisfying than not, I think, for a lot of people. Because I think when you have a label, you're connected to something.
Yeah.
You know, you have a built-in community, especially with the LGBTQ,
yeah,
you know, community, that it's a very strong community. So I think kids who maybe are missing that gravitate towards it. You know,
yeah.
For me, I think it definitely, like, when kids are born, if they're gay, like, that's something that is just, they're born with.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a natural part of this whole situation. Yeah. You know, I mean, look at how many people are on the planet. We all can't be homosexuals. I mean, we all can't be straight, because if we're all straight, there's going to be way too many people.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, you know, homosexuality is just a natural process in nature to slow us the fuck down. You know, and the homosexuals can take our babies and raise them the right way.
Well, they're much more refined people. Yeah,
they are more refined people.
Yes.
You know,
there's a gay man that came before Congress. I could have said went before Congress.
No,
came before.
A gay man who came before Congress.
And it was like, wow, look at that.
Wow, it's everywhere.
And he just jerking off.
He just got over everybody. Yeah. All the congressmen and the congresswomen got sprayed. It was like SeaWorld.
Yeah.
State of the Senate SeaWorld. So tell me more about this gay guy who came before Congress.
Capitol Hill. More like Capitol Spill all over you. Anyway, so he I don't even know what I was saying.
This gay guy came before Congress.
Yeah, and he spoke and talked about, I think there was some sort of a bill that was being passed that affected the homosexual community. And so he was there to speak on their behalf. And he was so refined, so, like, handsome. Like, if Channing Tatum fucked, like, you know, Stephen Hawking's brain and had it, this guy was just, like, fit together like a man's man. You know what I mean? Wait, did I say he was gay?
Yeah.
I can't believe that. I'm really fucking up the story.
He wasn't gay?
No, he's the son of two gay men.
Wow.
I gave away, like, I fucked
Freudian him up, like, slip.
Yeah, because I think I kind of wanted him.
Yeah, because you wanted to slip it right in there.
Because I wanted to, you know.
You want a little bit of the sausage in the pocket.
Pull it down just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Did-a-da-da-da-do just a little bit. You know that fucking 50 Cent song?
Yabba-dabba-do just a little bit? What did you just say? God, my face is so fucking
flicks
red.
On me and suck a bend a little bit. Suck a doom, suck a little bit.
So he was
Elemental P, Q-R-S, T-U-V, just a little bit. You know that?
God,
you know that?
Make it stop. So he was a straight man.
Speaking before Commerce.
And he was raised by dads.
Mm-hmm. You know.
That's pretty cool.
But his whole speech was about, like, you know, My name is, you know, John Smith. I am the son of someone. Oh no, he leaves who his parents are out. Talks about all of his accomplishments, credits, like who he is.
Yeah.
Oh, because I think he was brought in because there were people like saying like, you know, we need old school family value, traditional
right.
family. You know, men need to grow up with a feminine
with
spirit,
a mom
and the male
and
spirit.
Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, and he came in and like you could just tell like some of these like straight congressmen were just like. My kid is addicted to Cheez-Its and Diet Coke. What the
yeah.
fuck's going on over
yeah,
here?
Well, how did this kid become so well-rounded?
It was a great speech. You got to find it. Just Google, you know, straight guy speaks before Congress.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure
gay
that'll...
Dads. Yeah, go,
oh, yeah,
go
that
on.
Actually might pull it up. It might... I was going to say straight guy speaks before Congress. That's like all the videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's an interesting thing where people get judgy. They
have
get
you noticed
judgy.
When you, like, because our phones... Our phones and our search systems will figure out most things. Have you noticed just how lazy you become as like a typer?
Oh God, I'm so impatient. I don't even want to type who anymore.
No, I'll just like if I was like doing guy speaks before Congress with gay dads,
and it's all consonants.
I'll just write guy spits, you know, before constipation with gay,
and it'll find it.
Duty ads, like all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's your video. I'm like, I didn't even get close to that.
We're getting so dumb.
I don't even. I'm like, it's. I'm like fucking typing with my elbows at this point. I'm like, my fingers are sore. And my phone's like, I got you, bro.
You know, all this talk about like offensive words and things that offend people. Are you texting right now?
No, I'm type. I think that's a funny bit, so I'm writing it down.
Oh my God, this is what is what it's like to have a conversation with comedians all the time, and I do it to my mom. I do it to my own family, but like you'll be mid conversation, and we just go right to our phones, and we're like, not just let me just I need it because literally, if you don't write it down right then, you forget it. Mm-hmm. And speaking of bits, do you know Doug Stanhope's bits about words and being offended by words?
I probably
about the word retard and imbecile specifically, about how retard replaced imbecile. It is such a genius joke, and it really articulates sort of the sensitivity surrounding being triggered and offended by terminology.
By the way,
does the microphone smell bad?
This microphone needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, this one smells a little bit like cow.
Yeah, when's the last time you had some Lysol on this shit? My God.
Yeah, so we met in Beirut.
Yeah, yeah.
To go back to that. The one thing that I think of every time I see you is this is what we're used to.
So, Jessime, we did this guy, Ron Sinkowski. He's a cool guy, and he had this really brilliant idea to bring comedians to Beirut. And so,
a place that didn't really have a comedy
yeah.
culture.
I mean, right away, anybody out there listening probably is like, why would you?
What would you do in Beirut?
Does everybody ask you when you say you went to Beirut, like, oh, did you perform for the troops? Every single time.
And we also, by the way, we really don't have any troops there. And it's not.
Oh, yeah, you can tell there's no troops there. That's for sure.
Yeah, you definitely can tell there's no troops there. And you also, Beirut is a type of city, and Lebanon's a type of country where you literally can see the crossroads of war and them sort of like evolving.
Beirut has stretch marks.
It has a stretch. Like there's a building with like a literal bomb scar.
Yeah.
And then like a brand new high rise hotel.
Right next to it.
Right next
to it. And by the way, no one's in the hotel.
No one's in the hotel.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the underground bunker.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting place to go to because you see the war and you see them healing. And we went there. We had some shows. Those were a lot of the food is fucking phenomenal. Felemenke.
There's a restaurant called Felemenke.
Felemenke.
And it's unbelievable.
It's so good. It's so delicious.
And my favorite dish was hummus with meats. It's like, no, it's just hummus with meat. I'm like, no, hummus with meats.
You're like, so what's in this dish? It's the hummus and then the meats.
It's hummus with shrimps.
Like, yeah, it's all very literal.
It's just meat.
Yeah.
It's not meats.
It's so, so good. But we like... You know, we were talking backstage about you were pacing back and forth.
Well, hold on. So we had gone one time without Jessime. So Jessime did not come the first time. And so I already had an idea of what these shows go like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The crowds and all that.
And the Friday night show, the first time I went there, was unbelievable.
It was bonkers.
It was like, you could tell these people were literally like, you've been kind of jerking off all day, but not ever finishing. And then the girl finally comes over, and then you're like, okay, here we go. Oh, bang. You just blow it
I've
out.
I've never
you
know? Had a day like that.
Yeah, well, because you're not a guy.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, we jerk off and get ready, and right. you know, that's the whole thing.
You just, it's pre party.
Yeah, it's pre party. Yeah.
You tailgate it. Yeah.
<It's> just... Tailgate. That's good. And so I'd already done it. And so we did six shows the first time, and we're doing six again. And so Jessamy, you know, and who else was there with us?
It was Amir K. It was Byron Bowers. And that was it, right? That was just us.
And so, you know, you guys naturally had questions for me, like, you know, how did it go? What should I expect? Like, you know, I was telling you guys, like, what the crowds are into, what they're not and stuff. And like,
yeah,
you know,
like the references, like how, you know, it's one thing changing your reference when you perform like between L.A. and, say, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But your references from like America to Lebanon, you really have to check yourself.
Well, I have an entire bit on Target and they don't have Target there. So would have been a dumb idea to do a bit on Target.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So the first show goes... And none of us bombed, but it certainly wasn't like one of those like, oh, I'm going to Instagram to talk about how great the crowds in Beirut are.
Right.
Like, you guys are just looking at me like, I feel like I just performed maybe in Fresno. Like, it wasn't that cool. Sorry, Fresno. Sorry,
Fresno,
sorry.
You're great. Fresno, yeah, you're Fresno, great.
You guys are awesome.
Fresno, you're cute. You're doing well.
Both
Everyone
of your Quiznos
you.
Are awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah. You only get Hep C from them. You don't get like anything else. It's just the Hep C.
No, yeah.
Only... So, the first show, we were just like, all right, you know, this is a lot of fun. And it was hot. As
but let's also not forget like how much I told you specifically. Like you were, I'm like, Jessamy, you're gonna fucking murder. You're gonna fuck like this crowd. You're not even gonna fucking believe it when you get. It's like fucking sex up there, and so like you got up just kind of. It wasn't great sex.
It was sex where I'm definitely not going to call the guy back.
Yeah, exactly.
But I had a good time.
But I had a good time. I got what I needed.
Yeah,
I
would tell my friends about him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
I tell them to wear a condom.
Yeah, exactly. So I walk over to you. I'm nervous now. I'm pacing.
We're backstage. There's fans blowing because it's so damn hot. There's no air conditioning.
Yeah.
There's warm beer.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't know. But so we're pacing.
So you're sober.
Yeah, we're going back and forth. And then the next thing you know, we do the second show. And you can tell we all wanted it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's not the crowd. Sometimes really the comics need to kind of band together with a feeling of like, oh, no,
we're going
to
do this.
Yeah, not this, this. Time. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, give it away.
Okay.
And so then I think night one, we decided to have we had a local guy, and then I was the first U.S. comic. Because I'm like really high energy. And so I went first, right?
Yes.
And then you were after me.
Yep.
And so and the comic was doing time in between. And so I get off stage. And now, I murdered. I fucking destroyed. And I get backstage. And I'm like, oh,
you're
yeah.
You're like you're just like a lion back from the kill. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. And so I come over real quick, like I'm adrenaline. Okay, I'm. This is like, you know, you just have after you just have sex, like you don't even make a lot of sense. You're like, hey babe, could you cherries, maybe like a carbonated, but it's not still.
And you're
like,
wide-eyed. I can see all the whites of your eyes.
And my wife has to go like, you want cherries and you want sparkling water? Yes, babe. That's yeah.
Cherries and so
yeah, cherries and water, babe. Just get the fucking water and the cherries. You know, and so. By the way, that sounds like a good post-sex.
I want
cherries and water.
Cherries and water sounds amazing. Yeah. The flavonoids alone.
And so you go, I come over to you and I'm like trying to make sense. Do you know what I mean? And so I'm just like, Jessamy, dude, do you hear them? And you're like, yeah, they sound like, I'm like, yeah, that was amazing. Like, yeah, I did my bit. I cut out the Target part and then I closed my Adele bit. And
hyperventilating.
Unbelievable, man. I'm so pumped for you. I'm like, that is a good crowd. And I went to you and went, this is what we're used to. And then I walked away. But I said it like I'm in an Allstate commercial. You know what I mean? Like someone just broken down on the side of the road and J.K. Simmons showed up and said, do you need some help? And like, yes, we do. It's like, listen, did you know you could save 10% or less if you call blah, blah, blah? Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is what we're used to.
It was like a line. Like I felt like it was like an audition that you nailed. This is what we're used to. I was like, okay, Skylar, is that what we're used to? What are we used to?
This.
Also, catch your breath and you're sweating. You're like hyperventilating and almost dying over there. And this has been an ongoing thing now. Every time I text it to you sometimes.
What?
This is what we're used to. Remember that time?
It's become our like... K Like for anything.
We cry laugh sometimes. I told a couple people recently about when we were on the phone and you were talking about something like a joke, an idea for a joke, and you really loved it. And you were like, oh man, I just can't remember what it was. And I'm trying to remember what it was. And you were like, do you ever like have something you really love and then you lose it? And I was like, yeah, like my dad.
Oh my God. And he had just died. Oh my God. Yeah, like my dad.
We were crying laughing. You laughed. Like, I couldn't even hear you. You had that kind of laughter. You were like, you got to just let it out, you know?
Well, we bonded. See,
that's the other thing. We bonded over our dad.
Yeah, my dad has the same thing. And so, you know, like you and I, your dad was further along, and my dad is still sort of...
what's going on?
Early stages. I don't know, man. It's like, we don't know. I can't tell if it's progressing or getting better.
Is he living at home?
Yeah, he lives with my mom. Yeah, yeah.
He still lives with your mom, and you can't tell if it's getting... What's been happening recently?
Just a lot of cycling within 10 minutes. Like, just a lot of, like, you know,
repeating the same...
Yeah, within 10 minutes. But not, you see, you described a lot of things that you're going through that we have not experienced yet. So I think we're definitely... from the reading I've done, some people just have like a sort of light version of it forever. Like they don't ever like actually
like evolve into the other stages.
Yeah, it can happen. So, you know.
How old is he?
He's born in 53, so 66.
Yeah. See, early onset hits around 40s or 50s.
This started 7 years ago. So
okay.
He would have been 59.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's close to early onset, but still, you know. And it can last a long fucking time, you know. It's such a brutal thing. It's such a slow burn, kind of like my face.
Fahim Anwar was in the parking lot of the Comedy Store with me, and we were talking about... I don't know how we got onto my dad and having Alzheimer's, but somehow we were talking about that. And he thought this situation was very funny. And if there was any comic that's ever going to either, I need to turn it into a bit, but if there's anybody that could ever relate to this, laugh at it, or help me write it, actually, it would be you. So this really happened. So I go, he goes, well, tell me about that. Because Fahim's such a nice guy. He wanted to know like a little bit about it. I go, well, I go, today was weird. I go, my dad called, and I go, this is a good example of how a conversation can go. And he goes, what? I go, well, he called me. He goes, Skylar. I'm like, hey, Dad, what's up? He's like, hey, listen. Okay, so who was that guy back in the day? He was like a jazz musician. I feel like he... was from like Orange County or Long Beach or something. Always do impressions of other people. Like when he was hanging out with you, I'm like, Johnny Fair. He goes, what about him? I go, what? He goes, you just said Johnny Fair. I go, well, you were asking Dad. You said who did the impressions and was the jazz musician back in the day, like of my friend that like, you know, would always do impressions. He's like, oh, Johnny Fair. I'm like, what? He goes, you were asking me. Who was the guy? I go, what? And Fahim's like,
it's like an app. It's like, yeah, he who's said, on first?
That's what Fahim said. Fahim goes, dude, your dad is literally like the mental health version of who's on first. We were going in a circle. And I go, Dad, and I'm like, I'm laughing at the same time. He's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, he's like, oh, did you have like a funny story about Johnny Fair to tell me? I'm like, no, yeah, Dad, I do have a funny story about Johnny Fair to tell you. I was dying.
It can be really fucking funny. You have to write that down. It can be a really funny disease. It even in its most brutal of moments, even in its most cruel, like ripping from your groin pain moments, it can be hilarious. Like I remember. I think it's everyone's nightmare or one thing that people worry about is being forgotten, left, or you know, their parents not remembering them, forgetting who they are. And I remember the day my dad, you know, I was on the phone, I was in LA, he's in Syracuse. This is like probably about a year and a half ago when we realized something was wrong. We didn't know what it was because it's such a creeper of a disease. I'm on the phone with him and I'm high as hell. And I realized, yeah, I know, shocker. I realized the value of sort of being high in moments with my dad in retrospect, because it sort of let me glide through the moment as opposed to stressing out about it.
You and I must get high in different fashions because, like, like I'm thankful that I've been sober for this. For like, yeah, but no, but see, you and Doug Benson,
I was happy as
people
well.
Like you and Doug Benson, and I mean, they're like. It's tough. I hesitate to call you or Doug Benson or some people addicts because I know that like the definition of an addict is like, you know, well, if you can't live without it, it's like, I think there's something, you got to go one step further because I've seen some people that can't live without it where it actually somehow enhances their life. And I'm referring to people like you and Doug Benson and people that are just like, you know, oh no, I got to get high if I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? But for me, like if I got high and got that news, I'd be like, Dad, where are you? What's going on? Is the government on the line? Who's, are there people next to you? Are they green? Are they tall? What do they put inside of you? Dad, you're above ground. Dad, you're on a goddamn spaceship. Like, I would just like fucking, you know.
I have had those moments as well. And, you know, it's not that like I was high the whole time to get through it. But there were moments when I looked backwards.
You were high the whole time to get through it.
There were moments like looking backwards. I was like, thank God that I had a blunt in that moment. But like, I was on the phone with him and, you know, we're talking and he's just like, you know, I'm talking about my sister. He's like, yeah, Emily, I talked to her today and the babies are okay. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, now, okay, the babies, what are the babies' names? He was forgetting the names. And I was like, it's Karina and Elliot. Those are your niece. Those are your grandkids. He's like, yeah. And then Emily's mom. And I was like, Emily's mom is Nancy. Nancy's your ex-wife. He's like, got a bunch of ex-wives. And then.
How long have you been married?
They were married. They separated when I was 9.
Now, how many times has your dad been married?
Two, I think. Two or three.
But you don't know?
I think two. Pretty sure for sure two. But there might have been one back in the day before I was around. You know, maybe.
Interesting.
I think it was definitely two.
Okay.
You know, and he was like, okay, Nancy is your and Emily's mom. And I was like, yep. And then he was like, okay. And now, who are you? And I just was like I was so high. Like, I took a hit and I was like, yeah, like, who am I? Who's anybody?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dad.
You know, we're everyone. I love you.
It's like weed.
It's like an existential question.
It's like weed came in and just said, hey, no. We're going to act like this is something other than what it is.
Yeah,
we're going to.
Oh, no, your dad didn't forget you. He's asking you about existence.
Yeah.
A collective consciousness.
Like, you know, like Apollo 13, when they have no energy left, like they have a certain amount of energy and they're just like doing three, like recalibration, like we're going to do two ticks to the west. So like you literally weed fucking Apollo 13 ticked you.
Yeah. It
was like, oh, we're over here now.
Weed.
What's back there? Weed's like, don't worry about what's back
don't
there.
Don't worry back there. Don't look back there.
Don't even.
You don't want to look back there.
It's
a creature that is going to cause you harm. Yeah.
Do you like diarrhea? That's what that is. Okay?
It's emotional diarrhea.
Yeah.
Who's anybody, Dad?
Yeah. It's a great question, Dad. I don't know, Dad. Do you know who you are?
No one's ever asked me that, but I think I'm everyone. And I think everyone is me, and I think everyone's beautiful.
You ever done DMT, Dad?
But it is like, you know, it's a brutal disease, man. It's losing somebody slowly. You have to mourn them while they're alive. That's what makes it so brutal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I was fortunate in the sense that he was gone in a year from diagnosis to death. Like, that could have lingered on. That would have broke me.
Yeah.
You know, so thanks for leaving, Dad.
Yeah. So, thanks for nothing. Way to not be there. Or anywhere at this point, for that matter.
Where did you grow up? Were your parents together for... They're still together now.
Oh, yeah, they're still together.
So, where did you guys grow up?
St. Louis, Missouri.
And what was that like? Like, were you an affluent family? Were you struggling? Middle class?
I mean, I think we did fine. You know, I don't remember ever struggling. You know, I now know, looking back, that they were working really hard. And like,
what do they do for work?
My dad wrote and directed commercials. He's a creative director for an ad agency, but he worked hard.
Is that why you got into the industry, you think?
Absolutely. I love presentations.
Yeah.
I love like,
I could see you being good at that.
I love just like, and that's what stand-up is, really.
It
right?
really is.
You know, and I love the idea of like, gather around and like, check out this thing I made. Like,
right.
And my dad would always come home with a commercial. I remember very vividly at Christmas time once, or before Christmas time, because it was a Christmas commercial, but he came home with a commercial. And that's a big deal. Dad came home with a VHS tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah, VHS. It's so clunky.
Yeah, right?
It's so huge.
Yeah, literally a VHS tape. Like, yeah. It's like a fucking rack of ribs.
Remember
you
that
know what I mean?
Sound of it going in and like settling into
like a transformer, you know?
And being so excited about seeing
like it's
something.
So mechanical.
Yes, there's, so mechanical.
And like it would... That'd be a great podcast. Hey, everybody, it's So Mechanical. This is the podcast where we talk about
The way things were.
You remember payphones?
Oh my god, So Mechanical. Do you guys remember rotary phones? What about a typewriter? Mechanical.
Do you remember manual staplers?
Do you remember manual masturbation? Mechanical.
Manual masturbation.
Isn't it all manual?
So much of our favorite experience was us laughing so hard that we were silent.
We were quiet. My face.
People would walk
peeling.
By and just, they would just see two people just going
like this.
We almost looked like we were dying, I think, at some point.
Yeah, no noise came out of us.
So
he brought home the VHS.
It was for, was Motorola one of the first?
Cell phones?
Yeah, I think it was Motorola.
Yeah, Motorola was.
It was a wire phone in your car. So it had the wire. It was a car phone.
I think it was Motorola.
It was Motorola or something. And I just remember he had this creative commercial where... Santa Claus was in the chimney, so the whole commercial is just a shot of his back, and he's stuck in the chimney, and he's like on the phone going, "Yeah, Rudolph, no, I need you guys to come back. Yeah, no, yeah, I I'm glad I have this phone. You know, with nights and weekends, I can call you guys when I'm in trouble." It's just one of those types of commercials
with all the information.
Yeah, and I was so impressed, and I was like, and I love Christmas, so I was like, my dad made a Christmas commercial. I thought that was so cool. And then he had me do like voiceovers for him here and there.
That's
like
cool. When you were a kid, bars.
yeah
oh, that's awesome. That's so really cool. What did your mom do?
My mom, she did a lot of things before raising us. She worked at a dentist's office. She's worked at a florist. She's often worked at a lot of art galleries. She knows art really well. But
so she also was like a mom. Was she a stay at home?
Oh yeah, she stayed at home. Yep.
That's good.
And but now, you know, the tables have turned and she works, you know, because my dad really can't
help
right now. Yeah. So I think I'm a comedian because of both of them. My dad did it professionally. My mom is a behind closed doors, amongst people she knows, funny ass motherfucker.
Well, like, what kind of humor?
She came in here, she could be funny. Look, she could hang with you and I here.
Yeah.
She'd still be a little, like, just a little proper, but she's like cool proper. Like, she, like, if I made some sort of a, like, a dick joke or something, she'd be like, "Well, that's my son." Like, she would never be like, "Skylar." Like, she would never.
Yeah.
She would laugh probably, but also like maybe throw the ball back a little bit.
Yeah.
But still keep it kind of, you know.
That's like my mom.
But she does impressions really well.
She do you get your voice, like your voice control from her?
Absolutely. She's been impersonating everybody I've ever known my whole life.
What's your favorite impression that she ever did?
Oh my gosh.
Or like one that you'd request as a kid.
Oh.
You know, like when you're a kid and you're entertained by your family, you always want like more. You're like, more.
She did all the neighbors. There was a neighbor named Marcia, a neighbor named Debbie. She did Debbie.
Fucking Debbie. What did Debbie do?
Oh my gosh. Debbie.
God damn it, Debbie.
Debbie, she was a single mom. Who had a lovely little daughter that I played with her all the time. She was so cool and funny.
Yeah.
Great, cute little kid. Like my first experience of like, you know,
dry humping.
Oh my God.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Jesus.
I didn't know. I just thought it was going along with the story.
Oh my
Jeez.
God.
You were young, you know.
No, like my first.
Holy hell.
My first feelings of being paternal, like fatherly. Like I love to like take care of this little girl. Like I would like take care of her stuff. And so.
Oh yeah. That's not creepy. Oh, I'm the weird one, dry humping over here. You're petting her and brushing her hair.
No. And so I'm over there and I go, she would just do like Debbie just kind of had like a my mom always sounds like a sex operator.
Yeah.
Okay, so like when my mom leaves me voicemails, like she and her voicemails are really funny.
Do you have one in your phone?
I have tons from my dad. Remember we talked about
we keep our dad's voicemails.
My mom will just say things like, you know, she'll sound like a sex operator and she goes in between like back and forth between something really really traumatic and terrible and sad and tragic to something just really like, you know, kind of cheer up the
like
moment.
What? Okay, so leave your voicemail. This is your mom leaving a voicemail.
Hey, it's Skylar. Leave a message after the beep. Beep. Skylar, it's your mother. Just calling because I was watching the news and apparently the terror alert has moved from orange to red. So avoid bridges and avoid large shopping malls. Anyway, just seeing how the kids are doing, if they got their presents that I sent. Hope they're really enjoying it. I know you said they like Thomas the Train. By the way, I know you live in Reseda, but next to you is Tarzana. And apparently there are large rape statistics there right now. So I know that Nicole likes to shop at Whole Foods. And I remember the Whole Foods is near Tarzana. Tell her not to go alone or at night. Anyway, did you guys see Dumbo this weekend? It was number one at the box office. Like, it's just back and forth and back and forth.
Does she leave long messages?
Long messages.
Oh my God. My dad used to leave the longest messages and like fart noises. He would tell me he would do like movie reviews on them. That's hysterical.
Yep. And but so she's just done impressions over the years. She would do like Debbie and Marcia. She would do, oh gosh, what else does she do?
Did she ever ask you to do impressions for her?
No, I just started doing that and I was really bad. Like my dad had a VHS camera and I thought my dad was a king for getting that. And so I would be like, this is what I would do because I wanted to come across like I was the one doing the voice. There's a funny tape of me where I go, I'm like, Dad, do Rocky behind the camera, and then I'm going to mouth it, and it'll seem like I'm the one doing it. But he's filming me, like, lying to camera. And so he's behind the camera going, hey, yo, Rocky, hey, yo, Adrian. Like, he's, like, doing the voices, and I'm, like, going.
So you were already acting as a child.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, yeah.
Who were you? Were you close with both your parents? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously you are, but, yep. Like.
Still am.
Were you closer to one or the other, or is it just you guys all got along pretty well?
I'm just closer with each one in different ways.
And you have a
there's
have
things
siblings?
I would go to my dad about that I wouldn't go to my mom about. There's things I go to my mom about that I wouldn't go to my dad about.
Did they have a sex talk with you?
Yeah. My dad. I can't relate to anybody that didn't like get told about I mean
the birds and the bees. I didn't get told that.
So that's so why you're such a raging slut.
Is that why we can't be friends
Do
now?
Do you need to have this talk right now? All right, so just me. You can't have sex with every guy that wants to have sex with you.
I mean, listen.
Yeah, so that's number one.
That's why my face is on fire, A.
I was going to say, that looks like a cum reaction.
Do you know? Coming up next, cum reactions. Do you want to know
that's
my...
another good podcast.
Hey,
everybody. Welcome to ATC's Skylar and Jessime cum reactions. Today, what we do is we just put cum on things and see how it reacts. Now, we have
Spooch
a starter
test.
Cap here. Starter cap. This one is brand new.
It's not starter. It's double down digital.
Double down digital. All right. It's 85% cotton. We've never done an 85.
We've never done 85. And the one thing we like about these caps is a flat brim really catches the most spunk.
Yeah. So if we could get Ari Shaffer to come in here and come on this real quick.
Ari Shaffer. My dad's sex talk with me literally was this. It was, hey, babe, no funny stuff. That was it. And I was
like, what? Don't make a joke during a beach?
Yeah,
or?
I was like, what? How? Also, A, sex.
You're like,
shouldn't
like,
it be funny?
Hey, by the way, why did the chicken cross the road?
You hear about the one girl choked on the dick? Yeah.
Well, it's over the airplane food.
You have a brother and sister?
No, I have two sisters.
Okay. What was that? Are you the youngest?
Middle child.
What was that like being
middle?
Did they terrorize you?
I terrorized them.
Did you entertain them?
I think, I've been known to make both of them laugh.
Like, at what point do you think you realized comedy and acting was it? Do you have, like, a moment?
I know that, like, I always enjoyed movies, but I was just one of those kids that, like, it didn't dawn on me that, like, that it was done with a camera. I mean, I think I thought sometimes when I was watching a movie that maybe it was a documentary. Like wow, they had cameras everywhere, and this person, like... I don't think I understood that, like, there was certainly anything like just lights and that you did multiple. I certainly didn't understand that, like, it was a full day of work. I didn't understand it was a career or that there are people obsessively chasing and going to bed early and going to spend $285 on a coach and getting ready for four scenes for Die Hard 4 and maybe getting it, but then not getting it. And then
Justin Long ripping your dream from your hands yet again.
And then leaving the audition and deciding that alcohol's not enough, so you fake a fucking footache and you go to the doctor and you get Vicodin, but that doesn't work either, so you start snorting it, and then that doesn't work, so you crush it up and you have someone fucking shove it up your ass with a straw. Anyway, I'm fine though. I'm sober now. We've moved past these things. I'm a year and 11 months sober. When?
That's awesome.
Yeah, today I'm
Who doesn't somebody call you every
month? I'm 1.9 years sober.
Who Who regularly does it? Is it your mom? Somebody regularly lets you know. Isn't somebody like on your sober schedule? I thought you told me there was somebody who like reminds you like it's been a month or it's been or every year someone.
Oh, I think I did. Because you and I were there what in July?
Yeah, we were there in July 2017 or 2018.
There was some. I think you might be talking about my Aunt Heidi. She put it in her phone. And
yes.
Yes. She put it in her phone and it meant a lot to me that she like seems to remember when the big milestones are.
And for you, like, what are the things that keep you sober? Do you have like a mantra? Do you have like, is it people? Is it you? Is it?
Well, I mean, looking back and knowing that you had people blow crushed up Vicodin up your asshole because it gets to you faster, that definitely makes you go, huh? Maybe don't do that. a mantra. I mean, AA. The main mantra is one day at a time. All I can do is tell you that I'm not going to drink today. I have no idea if I'll drink the rest of my life. I have no idea. That's daunting to think about. That's why people drink. I mean, sometimes people only drink because they're like, never the rest of my life? That sounds crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just today. And that's not that hard of a thing to do. Like, if I said to you right now, do not eat chocolate till midnight, you could do that. You could do it.
Right.
You know, unless you're on your period. Good luck. But, you know. chocolate?
I'm obviously on my period. My period's on me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So... I guess you could say one thing that's really helped is, you know, I went and did ayahuasca. And look, that's not for everyone, I suppose. Some people might think that's not part of sobriety. Most people in AA probably wouldn't agree that you should go do ayahuasca, but I did it to get sober. I haven't done it since.
Wow.
I was sober. I went to an alternative rehab in Mexico where I did ibogaine, DMT, and ayahuasca. And, you know, yeah, I know. I went to Mexico and I did psychedelics to get sober. It's like, hey, why don't you go to the Playboy Mansion to stop having sex, you know?
I went to Mexico and did psychedelics to get sober. That's super progressive and also very brave of you.
Well, you know, when millions of people are dying from opioids, I say fuck you to America for thinking they have any idea on how to combat addiction.
I agree, especially with pharmaceuticals, with our current medical plan. It's a little ridiculous. You have to turn to a plant at least once in a while. So you went to Mexico and like...
There's certain people you're never going to... Like you would not listen to... If a friend of yours, you know, has been in 7 car accidents in the last 3 years, if they're backseat driving while you're driving, you're going to be like, hey, listen, why don't
you... I got this.
Yeah.
Let me try something new.
That's me with America and you know, the FDA and anybody that thinks... The fact that ayahuasca is a class 1 narcotic, like
it's insanity.
It's a fucking plant medicine.
It is.
It's not addictive. It's not non-addictive.
So you haven't done it since you done it the first time.
No.
But, and what was it like after?
Oh my gosh!
How do you think it helped in your sobriety?
My grandma was the first vision I had. I did 6 nights of ayahuasca, and the first night,
wow,
she walked. She came to me. See, I almost said walked, but that's a. There's no. I don't know.
They're visions,
it's
right?
Like, yeah, there's no walked. It's not like you don't. I don't know how to explain
it. I get it. I mean,
I could smell her and sense her and see her, but not in the traditional way that I saw her.
Right.
And she said to me, she said, you're not being one of us. Let us get to work. That statement meant so much to me because you're not being one of us means I can still see you, asshole, and a bunch of us can. And we laid the groundwork for you to have life itself, and you're fucking it up. But she said it lovingly, but
right.
Also like, hey,
get your shit together.
Like I'm done. I if I was here, I'd be even meaner.
Right.
So this is my Anakin Skywalker has come back at the end of Jedi, you know, fucking, you know, spiritual floating being. And I'm telling you, and when she said, let us get to work, that gave me so much, the plurality of that gave me so much hope that like we go somewhere. We're not, this isn't it right here. Your dad's somewhere. We're all there.
Right.
We go somewhere. And they can see us, and they can also do something about what we're going through.
Right.
There's a lot in that statement. You're not being one of us. I'm watching you. I'm disappointed in you. I miss you, and you can be better than this. Let us get to work. There's hope. We can help where we're from, and we're allowed to call in favors to whatever you believe in. And so that is powerful.
Yeah.
So when you want to, like, you know... I mean, look, do I ever get temptations? Sure. Like, you know, there's a lot of alcohol at comedy clubs.
And what do you do? I know, like working in a comedy club, being surrounded by this indulgent culture, how do you stay sober on a night? And I know you said like you're going to stay sober today, but like seeing you at a club and not drinking, like that's super impressive.
Thank you. At a club, it's a little easier because at a club, I've been banned. I got banned from the Laugh Factory for 7 years for being blacked out on stage. I got banned from the Improv for 1 year. Both those bans are over, but just like, you know, so now it's kind of like, hey, dude, like this is what you do for a living. Like third time, if I now got banned from the store for drinking, I think all three clubs might get together, like the fucking three families and the Godfather go, I think we got to, think we're done with Skylar. Right? Tonight, Skylar sleeps with the fishes. You know? So I don't need that. But also, when I see people having a good time on alcohol, I don't think I really have a feeling anymore of like, I'm jealous that I can't drink right now. I'm more jealous that I can't drink like that.
Right, where it's like not out of control.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction because now I know, like it used to be like, oh, I can't drink. I'm jealous that I can't drink. Well, that'll make you eventually drink. But when you're like, when you actually real, it's literally just like, hey man, like, you know, sometimes you get in a bike accident or car accident and you end up a paraplegic. You can wish all day long that you can walk like people you used to be able to walk like, but you can't. Them's the breaks. No pun intended, them's the breaks. Anyway. No, but that's terrible. Dude, who haven't we gone after? This is nuts at this point.
Equal Opportunity Offender. Yep. New podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Equal Opportunity Offenders.
Who have we not done? Pacific Islanders? They're fat. No. So,
what was your worst moment for you? Like,
but real quick, so now I stare at them and I go. So if I see like, let's just say I see three couples, mm-hmm. you know, out on like a couple date and everyone's having fun, and they're all leaving and they're just so giddy and like each couple has their arm on each other. And everyone's having, they have inside jokes about each other. And when you get approached by people like that, you're like, oh, this seems like a good group of people. I'm so glad they came to my show today. I'm glad I could give them this.
Yeah.
I look at them and like, I hear one of them go, you know, all right, who's ordering the Uber? Oh, I ordered the Uber on the way here. And they're smart. They're sensible. They know it's time to go home. Like they have their fun. And I look at that and I go, oh, if I was in this scenario right now and I was drinking first of all, I would laugh at you guys that you want to go home at 11. I would force you to go out. And then if your wives didn't want to go out, I'd say, well, then they're going home and the three of us are going out. And we're going to the strip club and we're going to order a Coke and we're going to get Percocet, maybe some Darvocets. Those ones are pink. So you don't want to snort those because if you have a cough up, it looks like you're bleeding. You know, like I mean, it would get to the point where like, I would just like, you know, I'd probably black out. I'd probably call my wife a cunt. I'd probably, you know, end up in jail. It's not pretty, dude. It's not pretty. It brings out something in me that I don't really ever want to see again.
Yeah.
Because it's not me.
Right.
My wife would always say, she's like, I think people have a gross misrepresentation of who you are. She's like, I think that you've really done a number on yourself, you know, because she's like, there are some people that just think that you're an asshole, but that's only because they only saw you
when you were fucked up.
And she's like, they don't even know, like,
they don't know your true essence.
Well, she's also said, like, she goes, it's so funny how hard-edged people think you are or how manic. She goes, they don't even know that at home, like, sometimes you're just like a soft fucking, you know, I can get really, like, you know, I can get really down too, sad. Like,
yeah.
I think people think I'm always like, right up here, you know what I mean? It's like, no, that's like, you know, that's something else, but
it's a part of who you are.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you said what was one of the worst times? I mean, geez, dude. Oh my gosh. This one's pretty bad.
I love that you were looking up in your Rolodex of your past.
Oh, there's a Rolodex.
Yeah.
It's called a drunk log. Chris Porter had a birthday party.
Oh boy.
In Santa Monica.
Chris Porter was on here a couple weeks ago.
He's the man.
Yeah, he's great.
I love Chris.
Yep.
And he had a birthday party. We danced the night away. I mean, when you go to a Chris Porter birthday party, there's going to be good tunes on.
Yeah.
Motherfucker knows music.
Right.
So we're dancing. Him, me, and his sister cut the rug to fucking Michael Jackson for God knows how long.
R.I.P.
All right. R.I.P.
Musically and physically.
Yeah, exactly.
R.I.P.
All right. R.I.P. R.I.P. on kids. All right. At this point, it's just like, just turn it off.
No.
Do you think he did all the stuff?
Unfortunately. Mm. Yeah. Billie Jean was not his lover. The kid is not, or it was Billie Jean is not my lover. The kid is not my son. The kid was his lover. And Billie Jean was the mom.
Billie Jean was,
yeah. That should have, you know, not sent her son to a grown man's bedroom to have him peek into his butthole like it's a squirrel looking into a knot in a tree.
He did that?
I mean, yeah, that allegedly.
I didn't watch part
documentary.
Two. I got through part one.
It's so much.
Yeah, part one, I'm like, I think I get it.
Yeah. It's a lot.
This, some of these documentaries, like, did you see Abducted in Plain Sight?
Oh, yeah. What are the parents thinking?
But not just that. Like, for those of you out there, there's like a, like, okay, so that's the one about the guy that lived next door to the family. And so the guy.
And fingered the whole fucking family.
Yeah. Yeah. Abducts the girl twice. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, abduct me once. Shame
but
on you.
Here's what I didn't get, dude.
Abduct me twice. Shame on my parents.
I think the fucking filmmakers are also a little.
Crazy.
Need to look after them a little bit. The reenactments on some part. Do you remember? Like, there's a part where, like, you know, she's grown out. She's like, and then he would stick his fingers inside me and do this, and just stick the tip in, and they do this.
Yeah.
And it cuts to a little girl's face, and she's going,
"Yeah."
I'm like,
"What are we
doing? I could do without the fucking visual."
I've got the visual in my mind is far worse than what
I don't
you're
need
gonna
footage.
Put
like you,
yeah. No, I don't need that footage of the girl.
I can't believe that got past. Like that's the kind of thing where you think like a director comes in, like, okay, and then I want to cut to, and then someone in the room goes, "Hey, Jerry, we're not doing that." Like,
yeah, can we not?
There's a lot of people to make a movie, and nobody raised their hand and said, "I think we're good on."
I think we're good on showing the child,
and then also some parent. Let that child be a kid actress in a scene where they said, okay, now look uncomfortable. Like
she
someone's
got her
hurting
SAG
you.
Card because she got her SAG card for getting sagged on.
Yeah, she got something.
She got something. It's on. It's inappropriate.
So I go to Chris Porter's birthday party.
Dancing.
We're dancing.
Sister.
Michael J. Fox. we're doing the Michael.
We literally are hitting every.
Yeah, this is
every
insane.
Tab here.
All right. So we're dancing to Michael Jackson. That was an accident. Michael Jackson, Michael J. Fox. It sounds
similar. R.I.P.'d on you.
So I leave the place and I'm with my girl. I'm with Ben Glebe and I'm with someone else. And we go outside. We're on Olympic. And I just walked up to a Volkswagen Jetta and I just started kicking it as hard as I could. I don't know whose car it is. I'll never know whose car it is. I beat that thing until there were so many dents in it. And Ben and Nicole are looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, they're thinking, like, when we get in the car, they're like, whose car was that? They're expecting me to go, you know whose that was? That's the guy that raped my grandma. Like, something, like there better be a story, right? I'm like, I don't know. What did I do? What happened?
You didn't even know that you beat the shit out of a car.
Nope.
How long ago was that?
2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went from punching the fuck out of cars, popping pills, drinking, all this shit, and then you just take each day at a time, one day at a time.
Yep. And now I suck dick every day.
I'm just like trying to think of, you know, I can't imagine how difficult that must be, but also like... You know, from how I've known you and what I know about you, your family is everything to you.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, your wife and your kids and you know, I think she's right. People don't know all the sides of Skylar.
Yeah, I think so.
And when I think of it, you know, when I think of, like, how you are when you're, like, even in this moment being vulnerable and sensitive, I'm like, this... is what I'm used to.
This is what we're used to.
Do you have any parting words you'd like to give to somebody who may be struggling with addiction?
I say this all the time. I know that there are people in the public eye that say, oh, reach out if you need help. You can literally reach out to me. And I've actually gotten... 24 people into rehab in the last 2 years.
Wow.
Just off mostly the crab feast. I ended up by saying, let me know if you guys need help. And they had a lot of listeners that were like, I think I'm there. And here's the deal. The worst thing you can do if you think you have a problem is listen to other people. Now, I know that sounds weird because what it is a lot of the times what we're... It's conflicting advice. A lot of times we've done something to other people, we've hurt other people, And the feelings we get from it is what makes us feel, oh my God, maybe I have a problem.
Yeah.
Right. And that's fine. You can stay in that zone on that level. What I'm talking about is, I can't tell you how often someone reaches out to me and says, I think I'm an alcoholic. I don't necessarily drink every day. I don't drink at 7 a.m. I don't drink like a bottle of vodka just to get going. But like when I do drink, I do really bad things. It turns me into a bad person. I also, you know, have to drink when I'm sad, you know, or this, that, the other. You know, I've been arrested over drinking. A laundry list of like, okay, no, you're definitely an alcoholic.
Right.
And then they'll go, but you know, but my my fiance and her family don't think that I'm one. Or, you know, my roommates don't think that I'm one because, you know, they think that I'm just young and going through a phase.
Right.
Don't listen to that shit. That's called your gut.
Yeah.
Okay? And nothing's stronger than your gut. You know what I mean? Especially mine because I eat Cheez-Its for breakfast. Anyway. venerable force. Step one is realizing that your life is unmanageable because of drugs and alcohol. And so... Who is that up to other than you if your life's unmanageable?
Yep.
And also, do not think that because you're successful, that's a sign that you're handling your alcoholism. That's the most hilarious thing. High-functioning alcoholism is a real thing.
It really is.
Dude, I have been successful, and I have not had a side job since 2003.
Yep.
I've been in
You've been working.
Dozens of movies, TV shows. Go look me up on IMDb if you don't know who I am. I work. And there was a time, I had my own show on Comedy Central. Dude, I was an alcoholic right then.
Wow.
Might have been my worst fucking time, actually. Might, you know, you could look back and wonder if maybe that's kind of why some things went away.
Right.
You know, has nothing to do with you're able to be on time. You know, pills don't smell like anything.
Yep.
Pills don't, you can't tell. I mean, a good person can tell that you're on pills, but your average person has no idea that you're on pills.
Yeah.
You know, you can look for little things like, you know, overly sweaty. Exactly what I'm, you know, spit collecting at the corners of mouths, rapid speech. Again, these are things that I do anyway, but that's just because I'm fat. So, if you think you have a problem, you probably do.
And where can they reach out to you? Where can people find you, first of all?
Twitter and Instagram at TheSkylerStone. And it's SKYLER. Not AR.
And if you guys want to come see him perform live, he has...
When is this going to be on?
Never. I'm not airing it. No.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
You're like, Skylar, this
probably
is
next
You're
week.
Like, April Fool's.
Probably next week.
By the way, did you like my text this morning?
Yes, it was great.
Because it was the identical text to what you sent me last week.
It was...
I literally went up and copied it, but added a new change date to it.
I was like, you cunt.
Yeah.
And if anybody... Is there an email where people can email you, or should they just DM you if they have questions?
Just DM me on Instagram. And actually, you can use my website email, skylar@skylarstone.com. You know, but if you think you have a problem, you probably do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And anything coming up, people can find you. Shows.
Yeah, I'm on season 2 of Corporate, a couple episodes. I think there's one more airing. No, they've all already aired. Never mind.
Okay, well, they can still find
it,
though.
Go on the Comedy Central app or comedycentral.com, all that shit. And then my show Comedy Rocks is every other Thursday at the Comedy Store.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. It's a great show. You guys should definitely come check it out if you're in the LA area.
Next one's Thursday, April 11th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This
is what we're used to.
I love you, Skylar.
I love you too. I love you a lot.
I love you only a little.
You're the best.
Thank you.
No, really, you are.
I know.
I'm codependent. Could you stay back?
You're great. You're the best too.
Now I feel good.
You do?
Yeah, I can't get there on my own. I need people.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll be here for you.
Happiness is an outside job. Don't go in. It's a mess in there.